We have fighting music because we are going to talk about fighting. We're going to be talking about The Heart of the Fight, a great book that I just read. And as many of you may know, I practice in the area of domestic relations, which is really a nice way of saying divorce. And I've always been fascinated by people who come in and say, I fight with my husband and I want to get a divorce because we fight all the time. That's all we do. Now, when you read this book, you have a different perspective on whether or not that's the true reason that the couples are breaking up, and we're going to talk about that. And tonight I have the authors of the book, Heart of the Fight, A Couple's Guide to the 15 Common Fights and What They Really Mean and How They Can Bring You Closer. Dr. Judith Wright is an educator with a doctorate degree, lifestyle expert, speaker, and best-selling author, and her husband, Bob Wright, also a doctorate holder, an internationally recognized cutting-edge author, speaker, program developer, and CEO coach. Welcome, both of you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Karen.
All right. So here's, fighting is not bad, right? Fighting is a good thing. Can someone tell me why fighting is a good thing?
You know, fighting is a really good thing. Not fighting is a bad thing because fighting helps you bring issues up to the surface. It helps you understand what it is you're really feeling. It helps you understand yourself, understand your partner. And actually, if you learn the skills of really engaging deeply in a fight and resolving it, you get closer from fighting. And it's really important.
And I want to address later, the fighting and how you fight is probably very important because you don't want to be saying things that you're going to regret later. But let's talk a little bit about the myths of romance, the fairy tale myths of romance. And in your book, you talk about how people think compatibility and romance is what makes a marriage or a union work. Is that not true?
It's absolutely not true, as well as the fact that we have so much in common is not true.
Yeah.
Compatibility is just really overrated. You don't really need to have things in common. People think, oh, we have so much common. We love the same music. We love Mexican food. That's not what relationships are about. There are things that do matter. Do you have common values, common principles, common things that really matter to you? That matters. But compatibility waxes and wanes. Studies show it doesn't matter at all.
That's so interesting. And I don't know about dating websites. I've never been on one, but most of my friends have been on one. And I would imagine that the dating websites sometimes focus on those things. Do you like baseball? Do you like these types of things, and you're saying it doesn't matter
at
all.
It doesn't, and it doesn't lead to closeness. It's really not what we should be looking for.
Now, you talk about 15 common fights, and I don't want to go through all of them, but Bob, can you give me a few of the fights that are common that you see so maybe our listeners could say, yeah, we do that one?
Well, let's start out down and dirty, the upper, the down toilet seat. It's a profound insult to women when men don't care enough to put that
There's
down.
Also splashes involved.
Yes.
So it's more than that.
That's the wet toilet seat. We didn't write about that one.
Well, it is. It's like those things in any domestic dispute, like who's doing too much of the cleaning or the cooking or whatever.
Very common.
Those domestic disputes are really common.
So what I think you're going to say probably down the line is that the fights aren't really about that necessarily, but then there's a deeper type of issue that is involved.
As a matter of fact, one of the main reasons divorces happen is because people did not fight and did not resolve their control issues up front. And fighting is necessary for us to sort out who does what, who's the best one for what, and to make a good team.
Because it does seem silly to break up a marriage over who's going to wash the dishes and who's going to do these things. But again, I agree with you. I see, and I'm going to say this like gender neutral, but I do see it a lot of times women will go along and they'll just do their thing because they were taught they were supposed to do all this domestic stuff, and they take on that responsibility. And the poor guy, maybe he would have done it. Maybe he's lazy. Maybe he doesn't want to do it. But maybe he did. He just thought, she's doing it so well, I'm going to step back and let her do it because she knows how to do it. And so at the end of a certain number of years, there's a lot of resentment.
Yeah, there was
resentment. Do you know how many women who have birthed two children and talk about the three that they're raising?
You know, yes,
one of our biggest initial fights was around an article Judith read about partnering. And I said, there's no way. I'm not doing half of the laundry. I'm not doing half of the shopping. She says, that's not what I'm talking about. I said, what do you mean? She says, I just want to know that when I'm shopping, you care and I'm doing it for us.
Yeah.
That makes a huge difference.
Get some credit for it. Because some of those things are thankless jobs. You know, even childcare can be very thankless. You're doing the same types of things all the time. It's very routine and your child is not able to say, hey, Mom, you're doing a great job, you know, making me dinner. You know, the kids take
and this
it for granted.
Is where a lot of the moms have trouble because they have a hard time saying, honey, I really had a hard time today. They usually begin complaining and the man immediately feels invalidated.
Well, and oftentimes she does make him wrong or say, you don't understand or you never do this without really saying what she does need and what she wants and how she feels. And that's a problem.
One of the things that you talk about is that you use the word yearning and that when you define your arguments, what you're really doing is defining what is it that you want? What is your desire? What are you yearning for from your partner? And why is it manifesting itself in this silly argument? That's kind of how I'm reading
it. Well, I think you read it. Well, you know, like I don't yearn for Bob to pick up his socks. That's not really, but I do yearn to be respected, to be affirmed, to matter, to be listened to be heard, to be known, to be understood. Those are the deeper yearnings of the human heart. So a lot of times you're fighting for this thing on the surface, but underneath it, there's a much bigger, deeper longing that we have. And when that's met, it makes a huge difference.
And when you explain this in the book, and one of the things that I was really shocked about was that, and I'm going to paraphrase, but you say that when you find a mate, and there's something about finding a mate that kind of pokes at some of the weaknesses and some of the things that happen in your family life going way back, that kind of stokes those arguments so that if I had problems growing up with control, I might be, maybe I'm with a controlling person. So I have something that is actually poking at me rather than smoothing it over.
As a matter of fact,
tell me how that works.
Well, Judith's big word is that your unconscious mind is working overtime to find for you a perfect prick.
What I mean by that is we'll prick your unfinished business.
We can say those words. We have a president who talks like that, so we can talk.
But I mean, is it pricks the tenderness. It pricks the wounds that we have. So it's kind of a fun way to talk about it to get our attention. But it really, there's a couple things. One is that you wouldn't even be attracted to someone that didn't represent some of those things of your past. Like, because love is what you experience as a child. So if you had a distant father, for example, distance and love is connected for you. So you will only be turned on by someone who's probably a little distant. But then that's the thing that's wounding, that hurts. And part of it is that also it feels like we're kind of led to try to pick somebody that'll help us complete that unfinished business. But we don't realize that. We think we've just picked somebody that's just causing us pain. But that's the opportunity for us to really finish our development, really fill in those gaps.
So what do you see as common issues in the past that make people yearn for certain things? You mentioned a distant father, so maybe you're finding somebody who's distant in a long-distance relationship, maybe. And so that sort of emulates what was going on when you were young. What are some other things that you see as being common things that happen in childhood?
Well, first, for starters, you just said it. We define love as our earliest experiences in life. And if Dad was distant, then we're going to think a distant man's love matters more than a man who really pays attention to me.
And try to work hard to earn it. And then that sets up resentments and kinds of things as well. We don't consciously know this.
No, but it's a comfort zone in some ways. And I do see that. We all see that in abusive relationships where maybe there was an abusive relationship at home and you think people would run for the hills when they saw that in a relationship.
You got it. Yeah.
But yet they walk right into it. They say unknowingly, and maybe not it's not conscious decision, and so they walk right into that domestic relationship.
It's even worse than that. If you were raised and you were abused, chances are pretty good you're not really going to be comfortable until you have ticked the other person off, and you can feel abused because that's what you equate with love.
That's a little disturbing.
It is.
On that level, it's disturbing. Yeah. When it comes to smaller things, I understand that. One of the things that you talk about is you say active listening is some of the worst relationship advice, and instead you encourage engaging. Is this semantics? We're going to talk about this go ahead.
This is really true. Actually, the studies show that active listening is like the worst marital intervention. It doesn't work. And if it does work, it works for a very short period of time. But active listening is stilted. It's not real. It's like, Bob, I don't like it. I feel upset when you leave your socks on the floor because I think that
I really hate that costume.
It's really patronizing. It's condescending. It's not real. We're not into it. We're not sharing really fully what's going on. And you feel like somebody's managing you or condescending to you. It doesn't work in real relationships. Real conversations are a lot better. Like, oh, I'm mad. And really, why? And what's going on with me is actually really much more helpful than active listening. It doesn't work. We're taught that so much. We get it as coaching for us. And,
and that's what marital therapists have often been trained in.
Right. Right. To make the conversation nice and stilted and really vanilla. And then you walk away feeling like neither party was heard about anything.
And the positive intent behind that is to teach people personal responsibility. But when we talk about the 7 rules of engagement, we're talking about nobody gets more than 50% of the blame in a situation, and each person is 100% responsible for their own satisfaction.
Oh, I like that. We're going to have to take a break, but we're talking to Dr. Judith and Dr. Bob Wright, authors of The Heart of the Fight, A Couple's Guide to Fights, What They Can Mean to Bring You Closer. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about specifics on how to fight. And then Jerry, my husband and I, are going to fight. We're going to do a real look. He's shaking his head. He doesn't want to do it, but we fought about what we're going to fight about before we got on here, just so you know. And then you're going to tell us how we're fighting, if we're fighting well or if we're not fighting the right way. We'll be back in a minute. This is the Karen Conti Show on WGN.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me.
Hurt each other all the time, don't we? But according to our guests, the Wrights, really, we should be hurting each other a little bit. We should be confronting each other and saying things to each other that are really uncomfortable. Right? No, better than not saying.
No, it's way, way better. In fact, the studies show that too, because actually it looks like in the beginning of relationships, if people aren't fighting the first 3 years, looks like they're like really happy. However, after 3 years, those are the couples that are more likely to be divorced because they're not sorting through things. They're not getting to the truth. It really, fighting is not what causes divorce. It really, that's not the issue. Not resolving them can be, but it's not having enough positives in the relationship to weather those fights and not knowing how to kind of get close together after you've had fights. Those are the issues, not fighting.
So now we know fighting is good. Now we have to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
What are the rules of engagement? Well, give me a couple.
The first 2 rules are actually about establishing the conditions of success in fighting. First one being to accentuate the positive. We actually fought over that for 3 years before Judith got it into the book. And the second one is to minimize the negative. And I also had to be convinced of that one over a few years. So those set the conditions for success. And the next one is the really tough one for most people. Nobody gets more than 50% of the blame.
Got it. So the idea is, I really love the fact that you do the dishes, and I really love the fact that you take some responsibility in the home, but the way you wash them I've got to rewash them, and they're dirty. Like that. So I gave him a little bit of the credit, but then I gave my criticism.
Well, that's okay. But more important is that he shows interest in you. That accentuating the positive means, how is your day today, sweetie?
Oh, I see. On a different topic.
It is. It's about being curious about one another.
I see.
It's being available, responsive to one another.
Okay, so you set the stage for something negative that you're going to say.
And looking at you like you matter.
Yeah.
What are some of the things you don't do in an argument? I think you have 4 things.
Yeah, there's 4 that Gottman says in the research, like the real killers of relationship. But one is criticism. It's when you're really criticizing, but you're an idiot. You know, you're stupid. You're really criticizing somebody. You're kind of
judgmental criticism.
Yeah, really judgmental in that way. Another is withdrawing, stonewalling, like refusing to engage. It can become a passive-aggressive thing. It can just drive people crazy. Another is my favorite, defensiveness. I would be in these fights with Bob, and he'd say something, and I'd defend myself. He says, "You're so defensive." And I said, "I am not." And they just proved how defensive I really am. So those are some of the ones. And contempt is probably the worst one.
Mm.
Really just have that hostile, eye-rolling, hostile humor, sarcasm, that dripping kind of venom can really be damaging.
And the lack of respect that it shows is something that can do a relationship in very, very, very quickly. So I think Jerry and I need to do a little fight here. I'm going to turn him on here. Hi. Jerry, are you here?
I am here.
Okay, are you all on board for this?
We'll see.
Okay, let's. Which one do you want to do? You pick. I have one that I have the argument with you, and you have one that argument with me. Why don't you start the argument, Jerry?
Oh, thanks a lot. I'm a very passive aggressive person, and which makes me hold a lot of resentment.
Yeah.
So, a lot of the arguments we have are about decision making, or sharing decision making.
Okay, go ahead.
Unless Karen wants to have a different argument. Was that passive aggressive?
No, that's pretty good. The closing of the doors, that's the one.
Oh, yeah. That one of my, big pet peeves in life, because I was raised in a lower middle class family. My father was always like, turn off the lights. It's costing us money.
So fight with me.
Yeah, Karen.
Karen.
What's wrong with you? Turn off the lights.
Jerry.
Close the doors.
Does it really matter? I mean, we're just going to the store. We're going to be back in like an hour. Does it really make sense to get mad at me about that? I mean, why do you harp on me about these things?
Because I just picture you flushing money down the toilet.
But, Jerry, even turning off the light and turning it on again probably wastes more energy. I mean, do we have things to argue about? I mean, you waste things all the time. You leave food on your plate. You do all kinds of things. Sometimes when we go on a vacation, you leave the lights on for the cats.
This is perfect because this could go on forever.
Why do you leave it on for the cats and you don't let me just leave my lights on? Can't you just back down?
My fault.
No, it's not your fault. Just leave me alone. I've got other things that are more important.
Actually,
than lights.
Jerry, you started out with what's wrong with you. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not quite at the contempt level,
but it
implies that she is flawed, and this is proof of that flaw.
Absolutely. Jerry. I feel flawed when you say that. Okay, so tell me, how would you coach a couple to kind of go through this?
Your response was to him that that didn't matter. And so that means, Jerry, you don't matter.
Yeah.
So each of you is missing the other's deeper yearning to matter to the other.
And you can keep fighting at this level, but it's not at what's really going on, so it never can really be resolved.
No, it's stupid. It's a stupid fight.
We had a 4-year fight over my slippers being by the door when I get home.
Oh, Judith.
And I thought it was stupid. Why do you want your slippers? I mean, same thing. Why do you want your slippers? But, what's the matter with you? What's all that? I had a very similar kind of thing until we really started to communicate and really understood what's it to you. And you said it in the preamble that from your past and your growing up, that was there were a lot of fights in the home. There's tension over money. It was like draining money. You can just see there's a whole other story behind that. So for you, that's much more laden, but it feels just like control for Karen.
Well, and maybe it's because I probably am a bigger spender than Jerry is. That's probably an understatement. I don't really, I don't pinch the pennies like he does, and he would look at a bill and he would go for the sale item and drive an extra mile to get something less expensive, and I wouldn't spend the time doing that. So maybe that's kind of at the fundamental heart of this, is that that's about me being wasteful and he doesn't like me being wasteful?
No, I feel like you don't care about what I think about.
Yeah.
You don't care that this bothers me. It's meaningful to me, but it's apparently not meaningful to you, so I'm not meaningful.
Okay, so that's bad. I'm going to cry, Jerry. No, so
you just spoke it at the deeper level of your yearning, because you want to know that you matter, that what matters to you, even though it may seem silly to her, is important because it matters to you. Just as our fight about Bob's slippers, I didn't get it until I really understood what that meant to him.
So how do we resolve this? How do we talk to each other in a better way other than just talking about the lights? How would you get in here?
Go ahead. You just started because what Jerry said about how he felt, about what he really yearned for is to matter, and that even though you may not get it, it's important to him and he wants that to be important to you, that matters. But then there's your side of it, because it bothers you that he's treating you that way or trying to control your behavior or saying what's wrong with you. You have feelings about that. There's something that feels dissing to you. So there's something you're yearning for.
But is there a resolution? Do I just say, you know what? I love this man. We have a great relationship. We have so much fun. I'll just turn off the lights. I mean, it's not that big a deal. And if it makes him happy, I guess I'm just, why am I fighting about this? Is that a way to resolve it?
Some fights it absolutely is that, because it just doesn't matter that much to you, and it's easy to do. When we got married, I was trainable. So what Judith didn't like, I mean, I pleased my mother, I learned.
We all do that, I think, to some extent.
I wasn't as trainable as he was. I was more resistant, more stubborn, so I wasn't that easily amenable. It felt like I was being controlled or dominated, and I didn't consciously understand that, but I fought back.
So when you counsel people in these kinds of things, and I know you do corporate counseling, too, mm-hmm. and these issues arise in corporate settings, like maybe in Congress? I'm just, you know, I was having this flash. I'm a mediator, trained mediator, and a collaborative lawyer, and I spent some time getting training on this stuff. Why can't they get a really good mediator to go into Congress and have everyone sing Kumbaya and come up with the goals that we all have, which is to run our country and open up the doors to our government and just have people mediate? Wouldn't that be a great idea?
When you can find common ground, because really we all care about the same things. We may go about them differently, but we really do care. People in Congress care about government. I mean, it really is that. And in relationships, we do care about things, but we're not always that direct. We don't share our more vulnerable feelings. We don't say what things really mean to us. And when we do, we actually can resolve the fights and get closer.
I want to thank you both for joining me. There is a Wright Foundation. Can you tell me very briefly what it does and how people can contact you?
Can go to rightfoundation.org.
That's W-R.
I-G-H-T, foundation.org, or heartofthefight.com, but rightfoundation.org. We do everything we can to help people live greater lives, with relationships, it'd be career, your own relationship with yourself, living with more meaning. But we have coaching and seminars and skill training and laboratories, learning laboratories. We get supported by other people. We also have a graduate university where you can get a master's or a doctoral degree in accredited graduate university.
Fabulous. The Heart of the Fight, I highly recommend it. Dr. Judith Wright, Dr. Bob Wright, thank you for joining me on my very first inaugural show.
Thank you so much, and blessings.
Take care. Bye-bye.